And will you pray with me? Gracious God and spark of inspiration, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Gospel of John is a strange book. It is the latest of the four New Testament Gospels and has the least in common with the other three. It's a bit more poetic and more philosophical. Oh, and it has two endings. The first ending involves a resurrection appearance to Thomas and some unnamed disciples with a relatively solid conclusion at the end of chapter 20. That's the story we heard last week, where Jesus commissions the disciples with the power of his own breath. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And the story could have ended there. That could have been the end of the book, but then there's chapter 21. It's thought to be a later addition to the text, and this resurrection appearance involves Simon Peter, the friend who had denied and betrayed Jesus on Good Friday. Conjecture about the addition of this 21st chapter often centers around addressing a rumor that began to spread after the resurrection that perhaps Jesus was not really human at all. And so the story of Jesus showing his wounds to Thomas and then today's story are meant to show the humanity of Christ. Today we find Jesus barefoot on the beach frying fish. How human is that? This story also addresses the problem of Peter, the friend who loved Jesus but then abandoned him, but who nonetheless became the rock on which the church was founded. When we last met Peter, before the death of Jesus, he was running away from his teacher, denying that he even knew him. And we're left with this confusing cliffhanger. If we believe in the resurrection, what's next in the story of these two men who had been such good friends? The 21st chapter of John gives us the rest of the story. In this final story, in the last chapter of the last of the four Gospels, Jesus shows us what it means to be the embodiment of love. What grace and forgiveness truly mean. What the gospel, the good news, really is. And Jesus directs us as to how we are to live in relationship with one another, not through some big and profound sermon or an amazing miracle, but through the simple act of laying a fire and cooking breakfast. It's a clear statement about who the risen Christ is and where the risen Christ meets us. At the breakfast table, in the most ordinary and basic spaces of human life and work. I have a tendency to make the same mistakes over and over again. Anybody else? I've been picking the same fights with my spouse that I've been picking for the last 14 years. And I fall back into that people-pleasing role all too easily. I refuse to ask for help and then get resentful when I overexhaust myself. I isolate when I'm anxious rather than seeking out the support I need. And I choose the same distractions over and over again instead of attending to my soul. Does any of this sound familiar? Now I know what you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking, but you don't know how badly I mess up. You don't know how ugly and shameful and particular my story is, and maybe I don't. But that shame feeling, it's real and universal. And failing, that's universal too. And we've just shown this morning that making the same mistake over and over again is something that we all do. Simon Peter lied. You might even say compulsively. Offered the opportunity to tell the truth three times, he never quite rises to the occasion. Rather than stand up for the one he claimed to love, he abandoned his friend into the hands of death. How must Peter have been feeling 2 weeks after the crucifixion? Jesus is gone. One of their own had betrayed him. Peter had sworn he did not know the Galilean and certainly showed no allegiance to him. The other disciples had grown disenchanted by the humiliating reversal of their plans to overthrow their political enemies, such that only John bothered to witness the crucifixion. If we leave the story with the appearance of Jesus to the disciples and Thomas in that locked room, we leave the disciples in that locked room, afraid to venture outside for fear of the authorities. But Jesus does not stay in that room, and it grows stale. It's not clear what the disciples are to do. They're in limbo, they're confused, and they don't know what's next. They're growing impatient with inaction, so they go back to the life they knew before. Peter plans a late-night fishing trip, and 7 of the 11 show up. These career fishermen fail to catch anything all night long, so their impatience and confusion is now intensified with disappointment. Failure in fishing brings back a reminder of the failed mission on that Friday night. And just when all seems lost and that the book is closed, hang on, there's another chapter. Once, I was brave enough to tell the truth about something that I had carried in secret shame for so long. Something that I thought, if I said it out loud, would be a deal breaker, would leave me abandoned and rejected. But when I spoke that truth, do you know what happened? The next morning, the sun came up, and there was coffee. And somehow, life went on. And for Peter, too, there was the rest of the story. Jesus shows up and sets a breakfast table. And in perfect literary parallel to the trio of denials, Jesus asks three times if Peter loves him. And this time, Peter tells the truth. He answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Restoration is the rest of the story. In this moment on the beach, Peter and Jesus, their relationship is restored. In much the same way, our relationship to ourselves and to God is restored. First, Jesus is always on the shoreline. The breakfast table is always set. Sometimes it takes time to realize that it's Jesus out there in the distance, not crashing down from heaven, but just waiting, tending the fire, keeping the fish warm. But even this isn't the end of the story. Answering yes to loving Jesus isn't enough. In response, Jesus asks Peter to care for his sheep three times. It's a directive to engage in meaningful work, to participate in the restoration. This exchange narrates two things that social scientists have named the happiness indicators. Research shows that across lines of age, race, culture, social and economic status, the determinants of happiness are two things: a sense of belonging and a sense of purpose. Jesus restores both of these to Peter. A sense of belonging, the table is set, and you are meant to be here. A sense of purpose, feed my sheep. Do the work of love and justice in the world. Jesus is instructing Peter and all of the disciples to get out there in the world and care for others. But hang on a minute, is Jesus mixing his metaphors? He's just helped Peter and the others haul in a major catch of fish, intentionally numbered 153, possibly the number of card-carrying Jesus followers at that time. And he had instructed them previously in a very similar story to become fishers of people. So why the switch from catching fish to tending sheep? Well, if you're a fisherman, your relationship to the fish is simple. You catch the fish, you reel them in, you eat them up. And Jesus has shown just how easy it can be to fish when you've got God to guide you. But a shepherd cares for the sheep. The sheep wouldn't make it without the shepherd. A shepherd meets their needs and feeds them and cares for them, protects them, heals their wounds, and shows them which way to go. It's a much more involved connection. At the beginning of their relationship, Jesus instructs Peter to be a fisherman, but now, at the end of their time together, Jesus asks him to do something entirely new. Rather than simply add numbers to the count of fish in the boat, he's called to care for those who really need it, no matter where they are. "Look, Peter," Jesus says, "it's not going to come naturally to you. It's not going to be easy, but I'm so convinced that you do love me, that I want you to feed my sheep." As Old South Church approaches our 350th anniversary, we've taken seriously the task of being honest with God about the ways in which we have fallen short, as individuals, as society, and as a church. And still, the sun rose this morning, and there's coffee in the other room. Still, the table is set, and we are welcome. Grace and forgiveness are real, and we are restored. And in that restoration, we are granted both a sense of belonging to one another and to God, and a sense of purpose. We who have been fed are transformed and called to feed others, to care for others, to set a table of welcome for others. It won't be easy, but Jesus gives us a new chance each day to respond to the question, "Do you love me?" with a resounding yes. Amen.